Welcome to the Create the Movement podcast, where Brad Post, author of The Online Marketing Movement, and Adam Colbert, author of Rocket Your Marketing, join forces to bring you the latest insights and strategies in the world of online marketing. Let's get started.
Welcome to the Create the Movement podcast. I'm Adam, and that's Brad, and we're going to talk about how to hire people.
Awesome. Welcome. Welcome, Adam. You know, one thing we kind of wanted to start off with is, you know, prior to us getting into agency work and starting our own agency, you know, you had some interviews in your past life, right? Or in the corporate life. Anything that stuck out, you know, on that as far as being in, you know, the corporate world when you were interviewing?
Yeah, absolutely. But first, I just want to ask you, when I did that intro, did it hurt your ears?
No, it sounded great. It
looked like you jumped back a minute. All right, yeah. So, you know, obviously it's a different process in the corporate world. There's usually actually a process that you would follow and certain questions that you want to ask. So you don't get to really ask the questions that you want. But yeah, it's just a different ball game. So I think if you're a small business, you know, a smaller business, maybe doing less than 10 million, 20 million a year, your interview process might look a little different. Yeah. So certainly you can learn from it though. I mean, you can learn from any experience, but I think for me at least, I brought maybe a softer touch. So if I didn't have that experience, I might've been a little more aggressive with questions, but I sort of learned, I guess how to like read between the lines. So
that was one thing I was going to mention is, you know, one thing about being in corporate world interviews is I think the one thing that I learned the most was not what not to ask, like legally what you can't ask, you know, you can't ask how old they are, personal questions about themselves. And being in a small business, a lot of the times you want to ask those questions, right? And legally you can't. I mean, at least in the corporate world, we couldn't. So we kind of tied that into agency as well, right? And we're not attorneys by any means, but there's certain questions that you can't ask in an interview, you know, per the law.
And plus, even if you could ask certain questions per the law, I mean, I don't know what those questions would be, but I mean, certainly know what you can ask, but even if there are certain questions that you could ask down the line, if you fire that person, that might open the door to them saying, well, hey, they asked me in the interview if I was a Republican, or they asked me in the interview if I was gay.
Yeah, like, exactly. Yeah. So, yeah, I think, and I think what one thing with the corporate world is they usually, you know, they have a list of questions. There's usually an HR person involved, you know, that has to go through the process. And, you know, if you're the hiring manager, you know, I think what I've always done, and I think Adam, you're pretty similar, is just gone based off of our gut instinct, right? Like, you know, do we like this person? As a person, do they feel, you know, are they sharp enough to, you know, to communicate well? You know, how are they? Are we going to enjoy working with this person, or are we going to be, you know, annoyed by them? Right.
Well, even hiring like VA, like, so the different types of people, I mean, I guess that you could hire. So you could hire a consultant, you could hire a VA, or you could hire like a full-time W-2 employee. Mm-hmm. And I think there's different ways to interview each one, you know, like, I think our process for interviewing a VA is probably more stringent or more, I don't know, we're more likely to be more aggressive with questions when it's a VA or somebody offshore, because we just want to get I don't know why actually.
Yeah, I think it's really, you know, because they're representing our company and we're not seeing them necessarily face to face in sometimes, and you know, they're overseas. So it's, you know, it's a little bit different process that we go through. And the other thing is experience, right? We've hired some really bad, not really bad, but just people that we were like 2 days in and we were like, okay, this isn't going to work. Right. We've got to cut them off.
And it's like with a VA, I feel like, or with any freelancer, at least offshore. And when I say offshore, I'm talking about, in certain Asian countries. And what I don't see that with is, or just in my own experience, I don't know if this is true for everybody, but Malaysia seems like a really good place to find people. Although we're one for one in Malaysia right now. Okay. We got a really good one, and then we had one that wasn't so good.
Right.
And then yesterday I was talking to a girl in South Africa, okay. our new girl. Mm-hmm. And she was like, she just was just so great to talk to. I had a really good feeling about her. But anyway, so those types of people, I feel like they're more part of the team, you know.
Yeah. VA. We've had a lot of people in the Philippines.
Yeah.
And I'd say, you know, we've made some really good hires in the Philippines. I think, yeah, just kind of shifting it a little bit, Adam, you and I, you know, we've worked together, you know, 7 years, and, you know, you and I started taking on, you know, a lot of clients together, and, good old me, I was like, hey, let's have a call with these clients every week. Right. And, you know, we were bringing on new Facebook ads clients, new Google ads clients, and scheduling, you know, my thought was we need to have weekly calls, you know, with these people, which we've changed now. We've noticed that having weekly calls is not necessarily, you know, maybe in the first month or two, but not, you know, not going forward after that.
It's not productive.
It's not. Yeah. It makes us shift gears when we shouldn't shift gears because we're being productive. And, but, you know, I think you and I quickly realized that, you know, kind of some of, besides our offshore team, some of our first US based employees needed to help with account management. As we were taking these calls on, you were managing the team, doing a lot of the work. And I was, you know, working on selling the clients. So we kind of had to bring on some US based English speaking, you know, account managers. Right.
Yeah, it was tough. I mean, so the first one, I guess one thing that I took away from that, at least with the first person that we hired, was it's not, you don't necessarily want to hire a, I mean, and this isn't a blanket statement. I'm sure there's rule, you know, everybody's different, but yeah. Hiring a business owner, hiring a former business owner, it didn't, that if somebody's a former business owner in the same industry that we're in, and mm-hmm. that's a red flag to me, not because businesses fail all the time. That's not what the red flag is. The red flag is that they might come in and say, well, I did it this way before, and this is how you should be doing it. Or right. They might feel as though they're a business owner and less, and not necessarily an employee. And
yeah.
I know with the one, I don't remember even where she was located, but yeah, she was super nice, mm-hmm. but a little tough to,
and soliciting our clients on her services, you know, things that we didn't do. And luckily we quickly realized that that was not the best fit. That was not the, you know, the right, hire. And then it took us a while to find, you know, find someone else. And then it also took us a little while to kind of fine tune that position on what it looks like and how, you know, what their responsibilities are, how they need to communicate, you know, to the client.
Well, yeah. Like, so with the first person we hired, in fact, what I guess we've had some really good luck. Mm-hmm. I say good luck. We've had mixed luck, but really pretty good luck right now hiring folks that are right out of college that have some desire or background in either design, copywriting, or marketing. Like they, mm-hmm. maybe they don't have a lot of practical experience, right. but they have a background in meaning they took college classes or whatever. And I mean, yeah, you can get them right, you know, right out of college, and it's good because you can, as long as they have just a little bit of motivation and aptitude, that they can be trained. And yep. It's worked out pretty good up to this point.
It really has. It really has. And I think, you know, one thing I was going to discuss is finding those individuals, you know, that have that credentials, you know, is, they're hungry. They're excited to be a part of a marketing company. They seem to, you know, want to learn, seem to want to grow, you know, and, you know, it's been good for us. The other thing too is, you know, our best hires, Adam, have not come from Facebook or LinkedIn or, you know, Indeed. They've come from referrals of other employees. Right.
Except for one, for the most part. Yeah, Anna came from LinkedIn, but yes, like
that's right, she did. Yeah,
but yeah. From the first one mm-hmm. through Ivana and then to Casey, those are all like referrals.
Yeah,
from each
yeah.
other, they're like, and it's funny because they like level up every time.
Yeah,
it's like, yeah. It's like yeah. you get the first one, that yeah. person refers their friend, that parent's a little bit yeah. better. they yeah. refer their friend. That one's a little bit better.
Right.
So,
yeah. And it's, it's been, I mean, we've got a really solid team now, I feel. But that was a good mention. So we, you know, the other thing too, I noticed is, you know, I talked to a lot of friends that are business owners and, you know, they're really struggling, you know, to hire and find people. But man, I remember, you know, when we listed, you know, the position on Indeed, when we listed it on LinkedIn, oh man, it was probably 50 to 100 applicants that are interested in, you know, I don't know if marketing's a sexy, you know, job, but like they were excited. You know, we had a lot of very qualified applicants that applied, you know, to the position. And also it's remote. It's a remote position. I think people are looking for that. So,
That's crazy though. But it's funny. We had so many applicants, but the one we hired was literally the first one that applied.
Yeah, it was. That's right.
She was on it.
She's
like, I went to your website. I saw the only way to, it said the only way to apply was through your website. So here's my stuff. Here's an email.
Yeah.
She like sent her documents encrypted.
Right. Yeah. And I think, you know, that's another thing that I look for. And I know, you know, I've talked about this before is, you know, let's look at, you know, when we're looking at interviewing someone, we look at response time and we look at how they communicate and we look at, you know, do they follow the steps? Do they go and book, you know, an appointment on the calendar? Like we asked, you know, does it take them 2 or 3 days to respond to a LinkedIn message or, you know, an email? And if it does, we kind of write them off right away. Right. Like, it's like, you know, if you're looking for a job and you're waiting 2 or 3 days to respond to a LinkedIn message, then you're not, you know, that hard. You're not looking for a job that much. So,
And the communication style and how, like you said, you know, the response time, that's a good one. That's a good metric to look at. And then how good are they at communicating? Are they, I mean, goodness gracious, I think Ivana was really good at, we got her on the phone. We were like, oh my God, this person is great. Like she just was super friendly.
Yeah.
And then, well, we had then one other person worked here for like a week. Talking to that person was really difficult. It felt, I mean, we liked her, I guess we hired her. We liked her enough to hire her. Talking with her was hard. It felt like you always had to extract information. It's like, it was like a one-way conversation. Whereas with everyone we have now, it's like they're confident and comfortable enough to have a two-way conversation.
Right. Right. Yeah. We ask them how their weekend was. They ask us how our weekend was, you know, or just something simple like that is really.
They don't say that they don't say, I don't remember.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, it seems like, you know, we've had, And Adam, it's probably been the last maybe 2.5 years that we've really, I mean, you know, we got through COVID where we, you know, declined in business. And then, you know, kind of after COVID, we started increasing in new clients once people went back to work and whatnot. So it's, I mean, it's been what, you know, two and a half years that we've started this process of building our internal team as we take on new clients.
Yeah, and we're just getting better at it too. I think that's a big thing to know is like, if you hire somebody, whether it's whether you own a marketing agency or any other business, if you're looking at making that first hire, it may not go well, but you will get better at it over time. I feel like we've gotten.
Yeah, we're definitely not experts, but you know, we have gotten, you know, and we're still growing, and our employees are kind of challenging us to grow as well, as far as like, you know, job descriptions and, you know, getting, you know, making sure that they're doing what they're asked and, you know, really helping, you know, they're asking a lot of questions and, you know, you and I are both very encouraging guys, but we want to, you know, let them know how they're doing or if they have any, you know, anything they need to work on, just try to be transparent with them. And I think that, you know, if you have an employee that you really like, that you've hired and, you know, they're struggling in something, but you really like them, you know, you definitely want to, you know, have more patience to train them to do something right than somebody that we normally wouldn't. So,
And what we found, or at least what I've noticed, is that the positions evolved, right? So when we first wrote the job description for an account manager, we knew what we wanted in our head.
Yeah.
But the way the job description was written didn't maybe articulate that as well. But what we're finding now is that our folks are much better. Well, I guess what I noticed was when we hired the first couple, it was like they were paper pushers. They were asking us, they weren't necessarily managing the account, but they were just saying, hey, this person emailed, what do I say?
Yeah.
Like, and that's not what we're looking for. We need somebody to own the account and manage it and just basically remove us from that equation.
Yeah.
And I feel like now they're getting to the point, as long as they've, I feel like if they've done the thing once, if we've told them how to do it once, the second time they're going to handle it themselves. I mean, we still get questions, obviously.
Yeah.
But I think they've done a good job of stepping up and owning, like owning their jobs. And
yeah.
So,
you know, one thing I was going to mention about like the interviewing processes, and I think you and I've kind of both done this, is, you know, usually either you or I will do the initial interview. You know, I think, you know, for a lot of these positions, man, I remember one week it was 25, 30 interviews within one week, you know, and narrowed it down to like maybe three people. And then, you know, I had notes on each one of those people. And then I'm like, hey, Adam, here's the three people I've narrowed it down to out of these 30 people. Let's, you know, let's try to make a decision on this. And so you come in for, you know, kind of the final interview, or vice versa. I come in for a final interview. And then usually you and I are both on the same page. Like, hey, you're number one, I agree with, you know, you're number two, I agree with, you know, but I think it's good to narrow it down, because there's been times where we've made offers to potential employees, our number one pick, and they didn't take it. You know, they came back and they were like, you know, I don't think, you know, this isn't really what I'm looking for or whatnot. And we're like, okay, well, let's go to our number two pick. Right.
Yeah.
So I think it's good to narrow it down and have, you know, kind of a top, you know, top three. Because you're not guaranteed that, even though they went through all the interviews and got you all the information you needed, that they're guaranteed to sign the job offer.
Yeah, that's so true. They could have gotten hit up by another company in the meantime, or, you know, it just has to be a good fit too. Like,
right.
You know, 'cause we don't want someone to work here if they don't really care to work here.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, exactly.
So,
because it can kind of be somewhat of a siloed position where, you know, we're all remote, you know, even though we talk to each other, you know, every week, we talk to each other every day within Skype, and, you know, we're kind of, you're up in your office, I'm back in my office, you know, like it's, you know, our team is remote, and, can be kind of a, not necessarily a lonely position, because they start getting clients and having conversations with those clients, but, you know, it really takes there's people out there that are very social and they have to go and work around energy of people. And so I think that's part of our, interview process too, is, you know, hey, by the way, this is a remote position. We do not have an office, in, you know, anywhere in Tulsa or in Oklahoma or in Denver. You know, we're a remote business.
I think if they all lived in the same place, like there was a time where we had two or three people that were in Virginia. And yeah. I think at that time we had talked about getting them a co-working space and letting them go there like 3 days a week or something if they wanted to. But then now we don't have anybody in Virginia, and we have two in North Carolina.
Yeah.
And then where's the other one? West Virginia.
Yeah.
And then we've got one in South Africa, another in Malaysia, and I want to say too, like the wet, I guess
Philippines.
Of course, yeah, Philippines. But the folks that have like a Western mentality, and this isn't a dig on other cultures, this is just for what we do with Facebook ads, mostly what we do with paid advertising. The people that have a more Western mentality, or that can communicate in a Western style of communication, are going to do so much better than somebody that can't.
Yeah.
You know, if somebody, I'll just pick on India, like, the culture is so different over right. It's just, I can't even explain how or why it's different, but the way that people think is just different. So yeah. Somebody like Weena, who's in Malaysia, in a very developed place. I mean, it's just communicating with her is like talking to Anna or Ivana or Casey. It's like the same.
Yeah.
And I think that's one thing to look for. If you are going to hire offshore, look for that. They don't have to be in the West, but just look for that Western communication style. And that, for me, that's been like the number one thing to look for.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You know, one thing we were talking about touching base on. So we, you know, talked a lot about hiring in the operations side. But we've had some fun this year hiring on the sales side of things too. I think, what was it, back in February, you and I decided to look at bringing on a sales team to assist with the leads that we had coming in. Right. And these were commissioned only salespeople, which didn't come with a salary, and it's different to manage them. And it's different to hire them. We've gone through some ups and downs, you know, with that process. I think we kind of did the whole like narrowing it down, going, hey, Adam, these are my, you know, three top candidates. And I think we've also done a pretty good job at realizing pretty quickly whether they're going to be good or not. That's been kind of a different process for us.
Yeah. Right? Oh my God. Yeah. I mean, well, so what we hired that we sort of like hired a consultancy to kind of help us. And then they were like, hey, go do these things. So we did implemented it precisely to the T what they advised.
Yeah.
But the candidates we were getting were just like, we hired some of them, but they were, I think the term, maybe the term high ticket closer is like a negative or not a negative. Maybe it's just, maybe someone, and I don't know, you know better than I do, Brad, but like maybe somebody who calls themselves a high ticket closer is not the type of salesperson that we would want. Cause I think,
We had some that have worked out with that, you know, with that title. I think it all came down to a specific course, that somebody taught about high ticket closing.
Oh yeah.
And so then they kind of called, you know, they had kind of gone through this type of training for high ticket closing. And, you know, we got a lot of good candidates, but man, there was a lot of people too, in that position that I know you remember this, is we would hire them and they're all excited and they give us all the paperwork and then they ghost us. Like that probably had happened 3 or 4 times. Right.
I mean,
just people that I've already introduced to the team in Skype, you know, like, hey guys, everybody, welcome so-and-so to the team. And everybody's like, welcome, we're so glad to have you. Right. And then we just don't hear from them the next day. And it's just kind of like, it's a different mindset. I don't want to pick on sales guys, cause you and I are both sales guys. But you know, I think just, that's also a red flag for us, obviously, if they're not communicating. We've made some decisions to hire people based on everything they did. And then they just ghosted us.
And we have a good commission structure. It's not like we're paying like 10% on a sale here. I mean, right. I won't say what it is.
Yeah.
But it's way higher than other agencies would pay. And we have so many, we spend so much money on leads via pay. We advertise the business, obviously.
Yeah.
And we're spending, you know, thousands and thousands of dollars on leads every month. And so for any salesperson, this is like a good opportunity if they know how to sell marketing services.
Well, and we have the system set up, you know, we have the phone systems, we have the CRM systems, you know, so, you know, the, so if, you know, if somebody, you know, has sales skills and has a little bit of knowledge in digital marketing, you know, they could definitely succeed. So, it's just kind of, you know, finding the right people. I feel like we're in a good spot now where we're at, where we've got a, you know, pretty decent, you know, sales team that assists in closing deals.
They are, especially the one, I don't know. One of our guys, I'm not going to name his name, but he's sharp, man.
He's teaching us stuff in sales and you and I've been doing it for 20 years, you know? It's exciting. Like I said, we're not experts by any means, hiring. These are just the stories that we've gone through because, you know, Adam, over the, you know, what, past 7 years, we went from just literally you and I and a few people offshore, to a team of, you know, 13, 14 people right now, you know?
Yeah.
So we've gone through a lot of growth and a lot of, ups and downs. Of hiring. So
hey, what would you I want to ask you this, and then I'll answer it too. Okay. But like, if you're looking at a salesperson to sell marketing services, like Facebook ad services or like SEO, what are you like, let's say their last two jobs are something. But say they don't have any specific experience selling marketing services. What would you say are their, like, if you're looking at their experience, what would you look for? Like, what would you like to see in the, as far as their last jobs?
I can tell you what I don't want to see. Okay. Probably easier than what I do want to see. But you know, I was a car salesman. So I can pick on that maybe. But I know, you know, we're very honest, and not that car salesmen aren't, but we're very honest with, you know, our people. We never train our salespeople to like, oh yeah, promise them the moon, and you know, hopefully we'll deliver for them. You know, it's like, hey, let's be upfront with our clients on what we're selling. So God, that's a good question. I know I was also in the mortgage industry, and you know, and a lot of those mortgage guys do really well in sales. And so, you know, or the finance industry, I guess, as long as you have a little bit of digital, a little bit of digital marketing knowledge. But yeah, I wouldn't say that there's a, you know, one specific industry that I look for when hiring, but what are your thoughts on that?
Man, this is totally unproven, but I don't know if it's going to work or not. But like, if I see somebody that sold a very difficult to sell product. So for example, merchant cash advance loans, like even though they don't have any marketing experience, they've talked to businesses, they might know what a business owner wants to hear. You know, so something like that. I hate to say it like this, but selling a product B2B that nobody wants.
Yeah.
Right? Not because nobody wants marketing, but just because they're going to, in my opinion, and this is unproven, but they might be better at overcoming objections or being more likely to hustle to get the sale.
Yeah.
Unproven, yeah. But.
Yeah, absolutely. I first started, I think I got hired on at the lawyer marketing place, because of my insurance sales and my consumer finance. I was, you know, top in the division, and he looked at that and he was like, oh, insurance sales. Then I'm sure you can sell anything, you know? So, but yeah, one thing that we probably also shy away from, and correct me if I'm wrong, Adam, is like, if somebody's in multi-level marketing, they've been doing that for the past 5 years, would probably say, you know, maybe this isn't the best fit for you. Right.
Return their phone call.
But I think, you know, more than, you know, in most cases, you and I really look at the authenticity of the person rather than, you know, I mean, of course we look at background and how they, you know, are, but we look at how they communicate and how are we going to get along with them? Do we enjoy talking to them? So really more of the authenticity of the person. And then also like what their hunger is as far as growth. You know, we've had a few interviews, you know, with even employees now that like literally went through our entire website prior to the interview. And that's impressive to us. Yeah. You know, that means they did their research. That means when we ask them to go, you know, hey, can you do this training? They can learn it and pick it up. I think hunger, you know, or just being hungry to better themselves is a very good characteristic that we look at in hiring.
Yeah. Oh, and then one of them, and this was super cool. She asked for, like, after we told her like, okay, we're going to hire you. She was super stoked, but then she asked for more money.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I was like, of course we said no, but like,
but it didn't offend you or I, we respected it. So I think, and yeah, that's one thing in interviewing is you can always ask for more money. If they don't give it to you, then, you know, and if they get offended, then that may be the wrong company to go to, you know, we respected it. And, you know, yeah, the position that we had just didn't offer that additional, you know, compensation at the time. So.
Yeah. But she had the balls to do it. And that was like the coolest. That was for me, that was impressive. I was like, this girl's good.
Yeah, absolutely. So. So yeah, I feel like we're in a, you know, a good spot with hires, you know, and I think we're good, man. Anything else, Adam, you wanted to touch base with on the hiring process?
Nothing related to hiring. Okay. I think what we ought to do. So coming up on the podcast, we'll probably talk about different strategies as far as advertising and just things that might be relevant to any business, but also specifically a marketing agency type of business.
Absolutely.
So yeah. Look, you know, stay tuned for that, but I'm good. I don't have anything else to say on the topic of hiring.
Awesome. Awesome. Thanks again for listening to Create the Movement Podcast. We'll be back for another episode. Thanks, Adam.
Thanks.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Create the Movement Podcast. Visit us now at createthemovement.com to discover how we can help you create a movement.